I will cast my cares on you. You're the anchor of my hope, the only one who's in control.
God's word tells us not to fear and not to be anxious, and that's the subject of Max Licato's new book, just coming out here in September, Anxious for Nothing, Finding Calm in a Chaotic World, is based on those verses in Philippians 4. We're giving away copies each day through the 15th, and I want to just give you an opportunity to hear a bit of Max Licato and encourage you to sign up for your free copy today at myfaithradio.com.
You can say goodbye to anxiety. You can bid farewell to the frets. God wants to write a new chapter in your life that is marked by increasing peace and diminishing panic. Anxiety comes with life, but it doesn't have to run your life. And the Bible has a prescription for inner peace, and this is it. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, just let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Chances are that you or someone you know has a serious struggle with anxiety. According to the National Institute of Mental Health, anxiety disorders are reaching an epidemic proportion. In a given year, 17% of Americans will feel the effects of a panic attack. That is to say, our chests will tighten, we'll feel dizzy and lightheaded, we'll fear crowds and avoid people. According to one research program, anxiety-related issues are now the number one mental health problem among women, are the second problem among men, second only to drug and alcohol abuse. The United States is now the most anxious nation in the world. Reading from one researcher, stress-related ailments cost our nation $300 billion every year in medical bills and lost productivity, while the use of sedative drugs keeps skyrocketing. Just between 1997 and 2004, Americans more than doubled their spending on anti-anxiety medications like Xanax and Valium from $900 million to $2.1 billion. The American Medical Association cited a study that expresses the exponential increase of depression. Our generation is three times more likely to suffer from depression as the generation prior. The generation prior, three times more likely than the one prior to that one. Why is this? Our cars are safer than ever. Our water has never been more regulated. Even the air we breathe is monitored. Gangs prowl our streets, but most of us go to sleep every night without the thought of being attacked. Yet to look at our emotional state, you'd think we were living in a battle zone. Curiously, citizens of less developed nations have far less levels of stress. Citizens in developing countries experience anxiety to the level of one-fifth that Americans do. And as one researcher said, when these less anxious developing world citizens immigrate to the United States, they tend to get just as anxious as Americans. Something about our particular way of life is making us less calm and composed. And the news gets worse. I don't want to worry you. But according to one UCLA research team, our college kids are more stressed out and anxious than ever before. In a study that involved more than 200,000 incoming freshmen, students reported all-time lows in overall mental health and stability. As Robert Leahy pointed out, the average high school kid today has the same anxiety level as the average psychiatric patient in the early 1950s. Kids have more toys, they have more tools, have more opportunities than ever, but they're leaving high school wrapped tighter than Egyptian mummies. Why? What's the cause of this anxiety? We all know some of the causes. Never has society changed so much. Sociologists are telling us that in the last 30 years, our world has seen more change than in the prior 300 years. Can you relate to that? Think what has changed since you were born. We've seen astounding changes in the technological world. We've also seen remarkable eruption and disruption in moral values. Change coming from all angles. It's enough to make a person anxious. And it's enough to make us wonder, was the Apostle Paul kidding when he gave this anxiety challenge? He said, be anxious for nothing. I would have been happy with worry less or be anxious only on Thursdays. But this is a sweeping statement. He says, be anxious for nothing. And he uses that word anxious or worry. We've studied it before. It's a Greek word which means to divide the mind. Don't let your mind be all chopped up into pieces. Don't be so caught up in yesterday and tomorrow that you can't live in the present, which always sounds great on a bumper sticker, but it's hard to apply in life, right? I mean, you got to be connected to the past because you're coming out of the past and the past affects the present. And you got to be prepared for the future, don't you? So exactly what are you trying to say, Paul? Well, it helps us to know that the Greek tense here means perpetually anxious, in a state of perpetual anxiety. Anxiety does come with life. But what Paul is advocating here is a life that is not dominated or driven or consumed by anxiety. There is another translation that helps us. One translation says, don't be over anxious about anything. It's this life of perpetual anxiety, this habit, this thought pattern of negative thoughts and anxious thoughts that the Apostle Paul would like to address. Another translation says, don't let anything in life leave you perpetually in angst and breathless. I made that one up. I'm not a Bible translator, but I think that's what the scripture is trying to say. Don't let anything in life leave you perpetually howly or out of breath, exhausted, or in angst, in a sense of dread. Worry in and of itself is not a sin, but it can lead to sin. Mistreatments thereof can cause us to engage in behavior that doesn't honor God and doesn't solve the problem. That's why Scripture, I think, has so much to say about anxiety. You have any anxiety in your life? Are you laughing less than you once did? You find your thoughts increasingly negative and critical. Would those who know you best describe you as overly cautious? Do you always assume something bad is going to happen? Do you never enjoy good news because you know all good news becomes bad news for fear of running out of money? Are you less generous? Do you resent the success of others? Would you on many days rather stay in bed than get up? Do you magnify the negative? Do you diminish the positive? If given the chance, would you avoid any interaction with human beings for the rest of your life? If you answer yes to most of those questions, then I've got a friend I want you to meet. Actually, I've got some words that a friend wrote. They feel like words of a friend because I've turned to these words myself so many times over the years. I would like to nominate this passage for the Scripture Hall of Fame. I don't know where that place is, but on the wall upon which they have hung John 3:16, the Lord's Prayer, and the 23rd Psalm, someone needs to hang Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 8. I call it the anxiety cure. These words contain nothing less than God's remedy to anxiety. It's as if he wrote a prescription that included the words, here's what you need to rejoice, you need gentleness, you need to remember the Lord is at hand, you need to remember to pray about everything. The peace of God will come your way. It will guard your hearts and minds. God will help you win the war on worry. Some of you have worried so long in your life that you can't imagine life without worry. There is a new day that awaits you, my friend. A new day, a new chapter. It is not God's will that you lead a life of perpetual anxiety. It is not. It is not his will that you face every day with dread and trepidation. It's not his will that you go through life always running out of breath with your mind split between yesterday and tomorrow, not leaving you any energy for today. No, God never promises a problem-free life, but he does promise to help us face our problems. This is the message of the book of Philippians. Specifically, it's the message of this cure for anxiety in Philippians chapter 4. Paul uses four verses to give seven admonitions that lead to one promise, the peace of God, which passes all understanding. Anxiety comes with life, but it doesn't have to master your life. And a new day awaits you because God is with you.
I really appreciate that. Ted, don't you just feel like you want to read the book now?
Amen to that. Yeah, definitely.
We need it. His new book, Max Lucado's new book, Anxious for Nothing, Finding Calm in a Chaotic World. Thomas Nelson sent us some that we can give away. In fact, before they're not getting back from the printers here for another week or so, but you can sign up. We're giving them away a drawing through the 15th, giving away three a day. So sign up at myfaithradio.com for your copy today. It's myfaithradio.com.